Coordinated care organizations are implementing the Oregon Health Plan. A recent report that just came out shows that the system seems to be working pretty well, despite the fact that there has been a significant number of new insured patients. Joining us from the OHA this morning is Lori Koerner with some details on that. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning.
Well, I'd like to start off with just sort of a broad question about the Oregon Health Authority. What does it do at this point in time? What are its responsibilities?
The Oregon Health Authority is responsible for many aspects of health for Oregonians. So, for example, the Public Health Division is part of the Oregon Health Authority, and the Oregon Health Authority also oversees the Oregon Health Plan, which is the health plan for low-income and disabled Oregonians.
And this is being distributed through coordinated care organizations. What exactly is a CCO?
A coordinated care organization, or CCO, is a health plan that works at the local level to transform health care and bring better health, better care, and lower costs to Oregonians.
So you have a number of CCOs across the entire state, correct?
Yes, there are 16 across the state. And in some cases, there are more than one CCO that operates in a region. And so the health plan members that live in those regions have a choice. In other areas of the state, there is only one coordinated care organization.
Now, can they be a conventional organization like a hospital or a clinic?
No, they're an integrated system that has hospitals and primary care providers and specialists all as part of their network. And they're unique in that they're very locally focused, and that they're changing healthcare to be more team-based and coordinated in the delivery of care.
So their services might be tailored specifically to a region. Like I'm thinking here in Southern Oregon, we have a growing retirement community. Would a CCO here have more geriatric services, for example?
They might. They certainly are oriented towards their local community. They do have a community advisory council that, each coordinated care organization has to have one so that they can get input from, local members. However, the Oregon Health Plan does not cover many members over age 65, since many of those people are covered under Medicare, which is a federal program.
I see. Once you've selected a coordinated care organization, what kind of criteria do you use to monitor them and make sure they stay on track?
Well, I'm the director of health analytics, and so we have a whole set of metrics, or what we call, health quality measures that we monitor and report twice a year to look at progress. We have to report those measures to the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. That's the federal government as part of our agreement. It's called what we call the waiver. And then we also report particularly on 17 metrics, and the CCOs are paid for performance on those metrics, meaning that they receive payments at the end of a year if they show improvement across that year.
So they have a financial incentive themselves involved in this.
Yes.
Let me ask a question. I understand that 2014 is the first year that we've had a complete set of data. There have been other partial reports previous to that. Is that correct?
We do have there was a report that was released a year ago. That was the first full year for 2013. We just released the report on June 24th for 2014 information. And that's notable, though, because with the Affordable Care Act, the Oregon Health Plan grew by more than 434,000 people across the state.
That's a pretty significant jump, isn't it?
Yes, we are up nearly a million, or just over a million, Oregonians that are covered by the Oregon Health Plan, and so it's a very significant increase.
And what are some of the what's some of the new data that you see from the most recent report? Where are we seeing some improvement?
We saw improvement in 2013 in emergency department visits, and we continue to see improvement there, meaning that there's fewer emergency department visits overall, which suggests that members are receiving care in an appropriate setting when needed. And we see decreases in hospital admissions for some chronic diseases such as diabetes and lung disease. We also encourage the coordinated care organizations to create what are called patient-centered primary care homes. And these are a doctor's office that is team-based. They may have a behavioral health specialist or dietitians and other members of the healthcare team all under one roof. And so we measure the number of patient-centered primary care homes that the CCOs have in their network and how many patients are enrolled. The coordinated care organizations were very spot on in getting their new members connected with a primary care team right away once they, were enrolled. And that was a huge, tremendous effort by the coordinated care organizations to make that happen.
We're speaking this morning with Lori Coyner. She is from the Oregon Health Authority. And we're talking a little bit about coordinated care organizations and some of the latest statistics. If you have questions about the Oregon Health Plan, you can give us a question on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760. Or during the live broadcast, you can send an email to jx@jeffnet.org. When a person comes in, Lori, to an emergency room and they have something that can be treated in a primary care situation, do we now have a procedure in the state of Oregon where we try to educate them and get them enrolled?
So in some cases, yes. The coordinated care organizations have been working with emergency departments to inform patients about where to get care in an appropriate setting. And so, that discussion does happen. There have been some peer navigators or people who are in emergency departments that can counsel members that come to the emergency department often or for care that would be better served in a primary care office.
Is this new enrollment part of the Affordable Care Act?
Yes, the increase in over 400 new Oregon Health Plan members is the result of the Affordable Care Act.
What kind of stresses on the system right now? Are we able to keep up with the number of new enrollees?
From the data that we report, it looks like the coordinated care organizations have done an exemplary job in keeping up with the new enrollments. However, we did see some difficulties in access to primary care providers for children and adolescents. The Oregon Health Authority is addressing some of these access issues by providing loan repayment programs for primary care providers who commit to serving Oregon Health Plan clients. We're continuing to increase the number of recognized patient-centered primary care homes. So those are those team-based doctor's offices. And so there is work to increase capacity, particularly in rural areas, to keep up with all of the new members.
In the report that came out, do we have an evaluation of how long people need to wait to see primary care physicians? Is the wait time longer or shorter?
I don't believe we report that specific measure. We did ask members about their access and if they felt that they could, get in when needed. And that metric, the results stayed fairly high. When we asked Oregon Health Plan members, just over 83% said that they were able to access a primary care doctor when they needed.
We have a call from Vadra in Sunny Valley. Go ahead. You're on the Exchange.
Good morning. I wanted to just make sure that people understand that Medicaid is not free, but when the person dies and their spouse dies, then the estate rolls over to the their estate. All their everything they're worth financially rolls over to the state to pay back whatever has been spent on them in Medicaid. And people should know that. It's in the law. I've researched it, and I'd just like to make sure everyone realizes that.
You have a comment on that, Lori?
That's an area of the Oregon Health Authority that I am not part of, and so I can't really comment on it.
Talk a little bit more about patient-centered primary care home. What is that?
A patient-centered primary care home is a team-based primary care facility. So like a regular doctor's office where a patient would go to receive care. The difference is that there's a certification that the Oregon Health Authority has, and the patient-centered primary care homes have to go through that certification process. And some of the types of things that they need to demonstrate that they do is have, for example, non-doctor team members within the facility. So they might have someone who can help counsel on behavioral health issues or drug and alcohol or diet. They also have to demonstrate that they are measuring some aspects of care. They have extended office hours, the ability for someone to get after-hours care. And so the focus is to be more comprehensive and a place where a patient can go and receive a whole bundle of services and so that they know where to go to get care.
A lot of this seems to be directed toward taking some of that burden off of emergency rooms, doesn't it?
Yes.
Tell me, talk a little bit more. You mentioned briefly that you saw some recent improvements in dealing with short-term complications from diabetes or hospital admissions for COPD. Discuss that a little more. Why are we seeing those kind of improvements?
Well, we're not exactly sure why, but we do have some hypotheses. And so these types of hospital admissions can be avoided if the patients receive good care in an outpatient setting. So good care in their regular doctor's office, or what we believe is that more Oregon Health Plan members are being seen in a patient-centered primary care home. And so they're receiving the needed care at the time they need it, and that prevents them from having to be hospitalized.
And both of these are chronic diseases, so they have to be managed on an ongoing basis.
Yes.
What is the screening, brief intervention, and referral to treatment measure? That's a mouthful. What is that?
That's a good question. The screening, brief intervention, and referral to treatment is really a process. We measure one point in the process, but it's screening for alcohol or drug use. The goal is that all Oregon Health Plan members get screened once a year. They start with what we call a brief screen, and that's just a couple of questions about whether or not the member uses alcohol or drugs. If they answer positively, then they would fill out a longer screening tool to find out whether they have risky behaviors. So it doesn't mean that they are being classified in any way other than to say that the member might have some concerning behaviors. And if so, the doctor or a member of the care team will have a brief intervention with that person. And what that means is just 15 minutes to talk about their drug or alcohol use and ways that they might think about cutting down. For those members that have a significant issue, then they are referred to treatment. We are measuring in just the number of patients that get a full screen as part of that process.
In the early days there of the Oregon Health Plan, we were a bit famous or infamous nationwide for things not working out well. Are things running pretty smoothly these days?
The coordinated care organizations are running smoothly. They really are making strides towards better care, lower costs, and better outcomes for their members.
Is the Oregon Health Authority staying within budget?
Yes. We, as part of our agreement with the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, we have to follow something that we call internally the 2% test. What that means is that our expenditures cannot be more than 2% a year increase, which is well below the national average for, you know, increasing medical costs. And we have met that criteria, and we continue to do so.
As you look at the latest report that came out, what are some areas that still need improvement? What are some things that the Oregon Health Authority is prioritizing and working on right now?
So there are some areas where we can continue to improve. We've seen progress in the screening brief intervention and referral to treatment, or what we call ESPERT measure. So we know that more primary care providers are doing the screening, but we still have a ways to go. That whole process was very new for the state. We also have a measure that requires children who enter the foster care system to have a mental and physical health assessment within 60 days of entering the foster care system. And that's been a challenging measure for CCOs. It requires a lot of coordination with both the foster parents and the Department of Human Services and such. Immunizations is an area where we have seen some slight improvements, but not dramatic, both for child and adolescent immunizations.
Well, this morning we have been visiting with Lori Koiner. A quick question here as we go out. How can people obtain more information? I'm especially concerned if you're talking about the poor. They may not have internet access or high-tech versions of that. How can people get more information?
They can call the Oregon Health Authority, and I do not have that number in front of me, but I certainly can have someone provide it for you after our interview.
Okay. Well, Lori, thank you for joining us this morning. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.